Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast. You are about to hear a kingdom living message from Reverend Kofi Asa of Dominion Embassy, a ministry committed to unveiling our Lord Jesus Christ and his kingdom system. Reverend Kofi Asa is also a pastor at the Prevailing Word Chapel. Please sit back and enjoy this anointed and insightful message.
Welcome to Practical Kingdom Living, a series of teaching we've been doing from the book of Proverbs, a book that is credited to the wise man Solomon, who was a king and a preacher, just as we are also kings and priests. So we want to see how to live practically the kingdom life that Jesus Christ brought from the admonitions of the book of Proverbs. So Proverbs chapter 3 verse 27, today we want to talk about good neighborliness, how to be good neighbors to those who are around us, those who are living where we live, those who are around us in the workplace, those who are in our schools, around us in our school. We want to look at good neighborliness. Those we come across on the street, those we come across when we are going places, even including church. How to be good neighbors is what we are looking at. So he says that, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due, when it is in the power of your hand to do so. Do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it, when you have it with you. Hallelujah. Let's talk about these two verses before we move on. It says that we should not withhold good from those to whom it is due. Now, those to whom it is due, if you read it out in the Hebrew, is only actually talking about the owners. Don't withhold good from the owners. Hallelujah. And it is important for us to understand that in our practical kingdom life, we must give to people what is their due. When something should be done to somebody, we must do it, and we must do it quick. Our neighbors around us, our owners, those who own the things that we take from. Now, there are some people who like to borrow. Borrow is like their pastime. It's something that they like. Every time in their life, they owe somebody, or they have somebody's property, somebody's something belonging to somebody in their custody. It is not a good habit. Hallelujah. If something does not belong to you, it should not stay in your house. I don't know why you should go and take somebody's property and bring it to your house. Eh? And when you have to give it to the person, you hesitate. You say, oh, I want to use small. It's not a good thing. Eh? In the school, it is not good to take somebody's pen, somebody's book, and then you have to give it back. Say, no, I want to use this more. It is not for you. Okay? So, it shouldn't be a habit. Of course, once a while, you may need to borrow somebody's pencil. But it shouldn't be a habit that, as for you, always you are borrowing. Always you are borrowing. At any point in your life, you have somebody's, something belonging to somebody with you. It's not a good thing. You should not start it, because when you start it, you cannot stop it. You know, you become addicted to always taking something from somebody. No, it shouldn't be the case. You must use your own property. You must use what belongs to you. If you do not have something, you know, just be content with what you have and make use of what you have. It may not suffice, you know, but you have to just make do with it. It is not a good thing to make it a habit of taking somebody, something belonging to somebody, to satisfy yourself. Hallelujah. There are some people, they even go and borrow dresses, shoes of other people. If you are going somewhere and you don't have a fitting shoe, wear what you have. Yeah, wear what you have. And let them know that this is what I have. That is it. You don't have to impress anybody with your life. Because if you want to impress human beings with the way that you lead your life, you are going to wreck your life. Because human beings will never be pleased, no matter how you appear. They will never be pleased. You will keep on borrowing people's things just to impress them, and at the end of the day, they will not be impressed. And it is not a good habit. I'm not saying that once in a while you may not need something that somebody has, but it should not be a habit. Because when you get into that kind of behavior, you are going to always long to have somebody's thing with you, and you will not feel normal when you don't have something belonging to somebody with you. One thing you must learn not to do is to borrow people's vehicles, cars. You know, if you don't have a car, go commercial. You don't have to go and borrow somebody's private car, you know, just because you want to impress in a certain way. It's a very dangerous thing. What about if you wreck the car? You say, oh, pastor, you're being negative. Nothing will happen. No, it is not wisdom. Hallelujah. You must learn to use your own things. No matter how small it is, learn to be content with it, you know. Because if you go and borrow something belonging to somebody, you go and take somebody's baby, with time, what is going to happen is that you are going to get so used to that thing that you borrowed, so that it will become difficult for you to give it out. That is what the Bible is saying. That do not withhold good from the people to whom it is due. And I've shown you that in the Hebrew, those whom those things are due is talking about the owners of that thing. It is not yours. But because you have used it and used it and used it, you have become so used to it that you don't feel like giving it out to the owner. And so you tell the owner, go and come back tomorrow, I will give it. But you have the thing with you. It is not a good habit. Hallelujah. So let us watch our credit life. Let us watch how we credit everything. Everything we go and credit. You understand the word credit? In other words, it doesn't belong to you. You go and hide it. It should not be a habit. Once a while, okay, but it's not everything also that you must go and even hide or even borrow. Hallelujah. Wow. I know somebody like that. He went to borrow somebody's vehicle, and then he was a very careful driver. I know you're a very careful driver, but somebody came to hit that vehicle. What will you do? Somebody has come to wreck another person's vehicle. It's a bad thing, because in this world, bad things happen to good people and bad people. I hope you know. And if you give the devil a chance, he is going to rather, because he knows you have gone to borrow that thing, he is going to attack you and try to mess up your name and try to confuse you for at least 6 months. Because by the time you take, you say, oh, pastor, I have money, I'll work on the thing, insurance is there and all that. By the time you finish, you see that for 6 months, something has stagnated in your life, or you have been confused for 6 months. There are some people who borrow even little things, especially women. They can borrow little things like salt. Say, I went to the market and I forgot to buy salt. So you go to your neighbor to borrow salt. After all, he comes to borrow matches from me. So if me too, I go and borrow salt, what does it? I mean, it doesn't matter. After all, even he comes to iron his things here all the time. So if I go and then I go and borrow maybe some blender or a set of somebody supplying me this. You know, the person is a woman. And so the person knows what I'm talking about. I'm sure that people may have come to borrow blender. Look, if your blender is spoiled, use this stone, the parent stone and the baby stone. I know how to work that thing. You work it. By the time you finish, you have burned some calories. And your hands look better. Yeah. They say, oh, but I sweat. And all that. It's good to sweat. Yeah. You don't know that. Hey, it's good to sweat. I hope you know that. That is why out there they wear something they call sweat suit. You know, it's black, normally black. They wear it under their jersey. You see, because the place is cold, but they want to induce sweat. Sweat must come. You see what I mean? So we must avoid these things. Pastor, are you saying that once a while, when you have forgotten your salt, your neighbor is a believer, you cannot go? Be very careful. They will give it to you with a smile, but behind you, they will say some things that if you hear, You think, oh, it's my sister. Oh, it's my, maybe it's a worship leader or something. But you'd be surprised. Or maybe it's a pastor. Oh, Sof Mami, when you go, you are in trouble. Sof Mami will have to bail you out. You'd be surprised. The kind of things that she may not say to. But you know what is called temptation. The devil will be bringing things into Sof Mami's mind. Ah, what kind of disorganized human being is this? Eh? Look at everything you do it haphazardly. That is not practical kingdom living. It doesn't bring out the glory of God. Hallelujah. So, we should not withhold good from the people to whom it is due, because they are the owners. Don't say, go and come back. The Bible says, when you have it with you. Hallelujah. Today we are learning the wisdom of good neighborliness. Good neighborliness. What happens is that when you don't give people what is their due, that thing will begin to fight you. Now we are going a little deeper. That thing is going to fight you. And I want us to look at it in the book of Deuteronomy 24 and then verse 15. Deuteronomy 24, verse 15. So, you have somebody's property, it's on credit, the time is due, and you are not paying the credit. And when the creditor comes, you say, but you too, you worry people too much. You too, why? What is this? After all, I will pay. And you have used the property, and say, if you like, take your thing. If you like, take it back. But you have worn it. When you do that, the property will begin to fight you. Look at it. Deuteronomy 15 and then verse what? I said 24 and then verse 15. It says, each day you shall give him his wages, and let not the sun go down on it, for he is poor and has set his heart on it, lest he cry out against you to the Lord, and it be sin to you. Wow, this is somebody that you're going to take something from. Now, the person needs his property. So let's assume that that person is poor as far as that thing is concerned, because he lacks it, and so he needs it. The Bible is telling us that if you don't give it to the person it is due, the person is going to cry to God that, oh, look at it. And this crying to God is not like, let me show you how it is done in the modern day. It is not like the person will go down on his knees and pray that, God, look at what is happening to me. No, it's not like that. The person is going to just talk, verbalize it. Oh, can you imagine that I went to so and so? He said he was going to pay me. And then look at the insults. That kafu didi, you know, have you heard that thing before? He said, I owe you. And so what? It means that we shouldn't eat. Can you imagine that? I have heard stories of people who build their houses and they give it to caretakers. And these caretakers, when it is due, by arrangement for them to leave, they say they won't go. Because they have grown used to your property. And their children, they will tell you stories. Look, my wife has just brought forth and all, but that is not the agreement. They will tell you, oh, we owe you rent. So what? So we shouldn't eat. Rent is due your landlord. You are not paying the rent. The landlord also came and you are quarreling that, so I shouldn't pay my children's school fees. So I shouldn't do what? No, but are they the children of your landlord? No. You should be fair. The agreement is that at such a time, I am taking care of your building. At such a time, I will go. When it is time, don't withhold good from the owner and give excuses. Some people are wicked. They will say, let's stretch him small. Let's stretch him. And then we will see his true character. You are not the devil. So stop testing and tempting people. You are a child of God. And you must have good neighborliness. Hallelujah. Wonderful. The Bible says that if you keep something belonging to somebody, and then the person talks about it, not just to God like, God, you see, I sweated to build this house and the guy is not paying the rent and all that. Lord, deal with him. The landlord may not do that. but maybe just complain that this person is not regular at all. I don't like the way he handles our money, you know, things like that. I tell you, those things, those bitter things, the hurts that you have given the lender, that hurt is going to be heard by God. And the Bible says that it will be a sin against you. And you see that things will begin to fight you unnecessarily. Look at the book of Leviticus also. Leviticus 19 verse 13. You know how precious the book of Deuteronomy is to us. We need Deuteronomy because the fifth book of the Bible, we have relevance to it. Leviticus is also very relevant to us in the kingdom system because it's a book for priests. Leviticus 19. And because we are priests, we need to get the lessons of Leviticus well. Leviticus 19 verse 13. You shall not cheat your neighbor, nor rob him. The wages of him who is hired shall not remain with you all night until morning. Can you see that? He says that, look, don't withhold what you should give to your neighbor, because the thing belongs to your neighbor. And the wages, what you have to pay the person to whom payment is due, he says that it should not remain with you in the night.
We'll be back briefly to continue with the word. Dominion Embassy is a non-denominational teaching ministry, and our mission is to enable people to rule in life through acknowledging the treasure of the Lord in them. Our purpose is to teach about the treasure of the Lord, namely Jesus and His kingdom system. Our vision is to fully acknowledge the person, principles and performance of Jesus for mankind to teach the kingdom system of God. And our strategy is to bring the kingdom message and ways of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to practical living, teaching and preaching, literature, seminar and audio visuals, all in the subliminal style of Jesus Christ. Welcome to the Dominion Embassy broadcast.
Let me give you the spirit of this scripture. It says that, look, in the night, everybody will say, oh, let's wait until the morning. Not so. Oh, after all, it is night. And these days, in the night, there are things, you know, bad things, armed robbers and stuff like that. God says that if it is due your neighbor, don't say it is night. Tomorrow, first thing in the morning, I will give it. No. God says that go and give it even in the night. That is the spirit. The spirit of this scripture is that God does not like for you to hold back what you have to give to somebody because you went to borrow it. He says, if it is night, don't say, well, night is night. Tomorrow I'll bring it. He says, I'll go and give it now. Finally, let's look at the book of James. James chapter 5. And then verse 4. Indeed, the wages of the laborers who mowed your fields, which you have kept back by fraud, cry out. You see, somebody has labored for you. You have hired laborers. They have worked for you. What it means is that payment is due the laborers. And instead of paying them, you are keeping the money until another time. And so, he says that when it happens like that, the wages, or the thing that you have to give to the lender, what you have to give back to the owner, is going to cry out. That thing, in Deuteronomy we saw that the owner or the person to whom the good is due can cry out, complain, and that thing will be a sin to you. Here the Bible is saying that the thing that you are keeping unduly overnight is crying, I want to go to my owner, I want to go to the person it is due, and you say, hey, don't go. It is a bad thing. Let's finish the scripture. It cries out, and the cries of the reapers, that's the laborers, have reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. Wow, this is something spiritual happening. When the money you are keeping, instead of paying your debt, your landlord, instead of paying your neighbor who rendered a service or something like that, or something you've gone to borrow, it says that money is going to cry because it doesn't belong to your house or your pocket or your bank account. It's going to mess up your life. Hallelujah. If it's in your bank account, it's going to mess up, contaminate your money. If it's in your house overnight, it will be crying in the night. Once you are sleeping, it's crying. And then the owners too will be crying in their house. Hey! Is that how human beings are? And he says he's a pastor. Or they call themselves Christians. I hear he's even a singer. Singers. I use myself first. I'm a pastor. I use myself. So why not? I hear he's a worship leader. Hey! Worship leader always credits. Always borrowing. Oh, I need a dress with some flowers in it. You don't have money. You go and borrow. And you are wearing borrowed, unpaid for shirt. When the owner is coming to you, are insulting the owner. In practical kingdom living, ladies and gentlemen, that is not it. It doesn't bring glory to your Father. It makes them look down on God, looks down on the church, look down on the worship of God, look down on the Bible. We don't adorn the Bible like that. We don't adorn the word of God. Adorn means dress the word of God. Titus says that we should by our behavior adorn the gospel, adorn the scriptures. In other words, we should let the scriptures or the Bible or the worship of God become dressed up, beautiful, practical. They see it. Hallelujah. In our behavior, good neighborliness. Let's go back to the book of, we can finish it. Let's finish. Let me show you the picture in James chapter 5. Look at verse 3. Your gold and silver are corrupted, are corroded. That's James 5:3. Your gold and silver, that's your money, are corroded. And their corrosion will be a witness against you. Please understand something. Gold and silver, they don't corrode. Corrode means to rust. Gold doesn't rust. Silver, proper silver, it doesn't rust. But the Bible says that your gold can rust and your silver can rust. Why will it rust? I will show you. And their corrosion, the rust, will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You see the spiritual thing taking place. This is a rich man who has employed people, and instead of paying the laborers, he says he's not paying the laborers, he's invested it in treasury bills, and he's going to earn some money on it. And then the workers are crying. They are crying. The Bible says what is happening is that while they are crying, complaining, you the against you the employer, the money also is crying against you. The gold and the silver is also crying against you. And because of that, something that doesn't rust will begin to rust in your safe deposit. It will rust in your bank account. It's going to rust. And the Bible says that the corrosion and the rust is going to eat your flesh like fire. What it means is that you see that things will be happening to you that you don't understand. Some sickness from some place that should not come. You see, something is eating up your flesh like fire because of bad neighborliness. Bad way you are relating with people who have done you good, giving you their house to rent, giving you something, a shoe on credit. I've told you, avoid credit as much as you can. If you should credit something, you credit it. When it is due, pay it back. Otherwise, what you think that cannot rust, you are secure. I mean, God is in charge. God is a wall of fire. The Bible says that even if it's gold, it will begin to corrode. Just because a part of it doesn't belong to you. It belongs to the poor. It belongs to somebody who has done you favor. That is not practical kingdom living. Hallelujah. Now, let's go back now to the book of Proverbs. So he says, verse 28, do not say to your neighbor, go and come back, and tomorrow I will give it when you have it with you. I told you about people who like to test other people. They say, Yan son and she, you have the thing, but you want to test the patience of the person. Please, that is not your job. It is God's job to test us. It is the devil's job to tempt us. Your job is to take people out of temptation. Your job is to help people to pass their tests, not to impose tests on them. Not to try and say that I want to stretch her small. Don't do that. If you have been proposed to, you're a woman, you have been proposed to, you know this is the man I should marry. You are convinced about that. Don't say, I want to stretch him small and see. I want to bluff him small and see whether he really will stand the test. Remember, there is somebody who is marking time. If he divides himself into two, that person will grab him with two hands. You will think that, well, I want to see his character, so let's bluff him small and see whether he will still call me. Don't do that. If he is due, if he is, I would say, your owner, if he is the one who is your future lord, please say yes when you are convinced. Otherwise, some corrosion will take place, because you are withholding an answer from somebody you must give an answer to, and the answer is crying, and the person is crying, and the Bible says that it will eat your flesh like fire. It's not a good thing. It's not just money. It is withholding good from people that it is due. He is due an answer. Can you imagine that you pray to God and God says that I have the answer, but I want to bless him small. I want to test my son small. I won't give him. God doesn't do that. Even God, he doesn't do that. He doesn't withhold good. The Bible says that no good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly. Why? That you want to withhold an answer, a good behavior from somebody because you want to see the level of his patience. Once again, you are not the devil. You are a child of God. So stop adding to his employees and helping the devil in his job. It's not a good thing. Hallelujah. If you are convinced, say yes. If you are not convinced, different matter. Sometimes you are convinced deep inside you, but you see, people are confusing you. But God is telling you that, oh, it's okay. You have peace in your heart about it. But you don't have peace outside when you look at him. You check him out from top to bottom. See that the guy doesn't have anything. A guy, we don't even know where he's going. His background is not good. Maybe he's lost his parents. A guy, he doesn't know where he's going. He has just got 10 fingers and he has come. If it is due, please listen to your heart. God talks to us by the presence or the absence of peace in our hearts. You don't have to hear God say, my daughter, mention your name, Abenabena, Eyewarenanko Beyamon. You don't have to let God. No, he wouldn't even do that. He will talk to you either with the presence of peace or with the absence of peace concerning that issue. And that's God's voice. So you let the peace of God rule, act like a king in your heart. Hallelujah. So don't test people. Don't test people. God has his own way of testing people. Hallelujah. It doesn't mean that in an academic setting, you know, Bible school setting, ministerial college setting, you cannot prove people, you know, give them an assignment to see how they have imbibed what you taught and how they are practicalizing it and all that. This is not the context. Hallelujah. Let's go on. Verse 29. Do not devise evil against your neighbor, for he dwells by you for safety's sake. Do not devise evil against your neighbor. Our subject is good kingdom neighborliness. How to be a good neighbor, right? Don't devise evil against your neighbor. Do you know why? Because if your neighbor is in trouble, it will affect you. It will have a way of affecting you. Don't curse your neighbor. Because if you curse your neighbor and God is punishing your neighbor, at least some, the fire in his house, some will pass your area. If he's beating the wife, you can't have peace in the night because you hear the wife crying all the time and it's affecting you. If the children are wayward and they are breaking the glass, at least the noise of the stone, I mean the breaking of the glass from the throwing of the stone by the wayward children, you are going to hear that noise. So he says, look, as for your neighbor, wish your neighbor well. And your neighbor is not just talking about the person who stays by you, the person you are walking by on the street. You remember Jesus' parable about who is my neighbor? He said that it was somebody who needs your help on the way to Jerusalem, you know, or on the way to Jericho, one of it. The person was going to Jericho, I think, from Jerusalem. and fell among thieves, and the thieves beat him up. The priest passed by, wasn't a good neighbor. The Samaritan passed by, or is that it? The Levite passed by, wasn't a good neighbor. And then the Samaritan, whom they thought that they were sinners, they were bad people. You shouldn't talk to Samaritans. That Samaritan rather came and attended to that Jewish man. And Jesus said, look, he has been a good neighbor. Your neighbor is anybody in your workplace who needs your help. Don't say, me, I've done my part. The boss said, I should do this, I've done my part. And then I pass on the thing to him. Well, if he doesn't do his part, no, you shouldn't be like that. You must see to it. The end result is what your boss wants, not the people who do their part. Hallelujah. So you must be concerned. Is there a way I can help you after you have passed on the work to the other desk? Is there a way I can help you? You see that the person is struggling. You must be a good neighbor. Because the person may have had a very bad night. Very bad night from home before the person came to work. We can lead a practical Christian life and be neighbors and not divisive against your workmates because of what? When your workmate is in trouble, it will affect you. You think that you sabotage the person, you don't help the person, and then the person doesn't do well and you do well. You think it is good for you? No, it's not good for you. Because at the end of the day, what your boss looks for is a result that the whole organization is producing. And if the organization doesn't produce that result, I'm telling you, the image of the organization is going down and you are inside.
I hope you've been blessed by the word. In case you've not accepted Jesus as your Lord and personal Savior, kindly say this after me. Dear God, I repent towards you and sin. Come into my heart. I make you Jesus my Lord and Savior. Thank you for forgiving all my sins already, saving me from hell and accepting me into your kingdom as your royal child. In Jesus' name, amen. For this and other kingdom messages and books from Dominion Embassy, call 020-8078-535. Visit our website at www.dominionembassygh.org or our offices at No. 1 Karat Avenue, Eric Warden Street, near Zoom Lion offices, off Queen of Peace Academy, West Anaji Estate, Takoradi, Ghana. God richly bless you. Lord, I lift your name.